Welcome to the Political Rewind. I'm Madhoni Muturi. Coming up today, battleground ads in overdrive and universal suffrage, Ohio style. But first, girl versus boy, the debate of the political season.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. There is a lot of anticipation about tomorrow's vice presidential debate. It is the one and only opportunity for voters to see Senator Joe Biden and Governor Sarah Palin together on the same stage. And over the years, vice presidential debates have provided some of the most memorable campaign moments, as NPR's Ina Jaffe reports.
Some of those moments have taken on lives of their own. Case in point, the vice presidential debate in 1988, when Senator Lloyd Benson, the Democrat, listened as his Republican counterpart, Senator Dan Quayle, explained why he had the credentials to assume the presidency if needed.
I have as much experience in the Congress as Jack Kennedy did when he sought the presidency.
Just about everyone knows Benson's response. All together now.
I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
For viewers, the vice presidential debates often tend to be better theater than the presidential forum, says Professor Alan Schroeder, author of Presidential Debates, 50 Years of High-Risk TV.
The stakes are a little bit lower, and so the debaters in a vice presidential debate have free rein to be a little bit looser.
Benson's zinger was not enough to prevent Republican George H.W. Bush, with Quayle as his running mate, from winning the presidency, but it put a stake through the heart of Quayle's political career, says Schroeder, which should serve as a caution to Alaska Governor Sarah Palin.
How she performs in this debate is going to really tell us whether she does have a future in politics down the line.
This Thursday will be only the second time that a man and a woman have shared the stage during a vice presidential debate. The first time was in 1984, when New York Congresswoman Geraldine Ferraro, the running mate of Democrat Walter Mondale, faced off against Ronald Reagan's vice president, George H.W. Bush. She was the first female vice presidential candidate of a major party. Bush was an experienced foreign policy hand, and he proceeded to take Ferraro to school.
But let me help you with the difference, Ms. Ferraro, between Iran and the embassy in Lebanon.
This went on for quite a while. Ferraro coolly stood her ground.
Let me just say, first of all, that I almost resent, Vice President Bush, your patronizing attitude that you have to teach me about foreign policy.
This Thursday, Joe Biden, another man with lots of foreign policy experience, had better make sure he doesn't give Sarah Palin an excuse to say the same thing, says Chris Lehane, press secretary for former Vice President Al Gore.
At some level, you can only do harm in these debates because at the end of the day, the vice presidential pick is always a lot more about what it says about the presidential candidate.
But it can be hard sometimes to know what'll hurt. In 1992, there was a three-way vice presidential debate, including the running mate of Ross Perot. That was Admiral James Stockdale, who introduced himself to voters like this.
Who am I? Why am I here?
We may all have silently asked ourselves those questions, but voters didn't want a vice president who asked them in front of the world, says University of Kansas professor Diana Carlin, a former advisor to the Commission on Presidential Debates.
Stockdale's performance caused a lot of people to rethink Perot because they didn't think he'd taken that choice seriously enough, and that was the deciding point for them.
But sometimes it's not the highly quotable remark that makes the difference. For example, the debate in 2000 between vice presidential candidates Dick Cheney and Joe Lieberman is remembered as something of an affability contest. For Cheney, that was by design, says Matthew Dowd, pollster and strategist for President Bush's White House campaigns.
Going into that debate, when Senator Lieberman would travel somewhere, he would give a bump to Gore in those places. And when Dick Cheney would travel into media markets and we'd poll afterwards, there'd be no effect.
But Cheney's laid-back demeanor and flashes of humor in the debate turned that around, says Dowd. Increasingly, he says, voters aren't just looking at the top of the ticket. They're looking at the whole presidential team,
which includes the vice president, which includes the first lady. And so I think these vice presidential debates are growing in importance.
Which is why tens of millions of voters will be tuning in on Thursday to closely evaluate these two prospective vice presidents and to just enjoy the show. Ina Jaffe, NPR News.
In Colorado, ballots will begin arriving in mailboxes as early as October 10th, and some voters will be able to go to the polls starting October 20th. Colorado is a swing state in the presidential election, so right now the airwaves are packed with political ads. We asked NPR's Jeff Brady to watch TV in Denver last night during the evening news and primetime and let us know what he saw.
Here's a warning if you find yourself in Colorado turning on the TV for local news. Don't do it before you eat dinner.
Radical Islamic terrorists. They hate us and want us to die.
The conservative group Freedom's Watch bought this ad. At one point, it shows Iran's president on one side and North Korea's leader on the other, with a missile rising up between them.
Even as enemies seek nuclear bombs, Udall said no to missile defense.
That's Representative Mark Udall, a Colorado Democrat running for the Senate. After that, some light entertainment sounds nice. How about Dancing with the Stars?
Will the judges please reveal their scores? Carrie-Anne Inaba.
7.
But even this gleaming display of past-their-prime stars gets interrupted.
Our economy is in a meltdown, but it didn't just happen.
The Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee is behind this ad. It links Republican Bob Schaefer with President Bush.
Schaefer wants to continue the policies that have cost us jobs, created record deficits, and left our economy in a shambles.
And then this ad.
For 8 years, we've been told that the way to a stronger economy was to give huge tax breaks to corporations and the wealthiest, cut oversight on Wall Street, and somehow all Americans would benefit.
It aired many times yesterday, the same day Barack Obama held a rally in Colorado. There are no quick cuts, no grainy photos that make opponents look shady or, in some cases, fat. Just the candidate sitting in front of a half-open door that appears to lead to a sun porch. This soothing portrait was juxtaposed with that of Obama at a rally in a local high school where he ripped opponent John McCain.
Senator McCain, what economy are you talking about?
Obama's been using that same line for a couple weeks now, referring to comments McCain previously made about the strength of the U.S. economy. McCain's campaign also has been running a lot of ads in Colorado. The latest is designed to sow doubt in Obama's ability to lead the country out of the financial mess. In this cut, listen for the not-so-subtle change of music near the end of the ad.
More taxes, no leadership, a risk your family can't afford.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
In downtown Denver, most of the people I talked with said they don't pay attention to television ads. But when asked more questions, most were able to provide details about the ads currently airing. In Colorado, unaffiliated voters make up about a third of the electorate, and whichever way they swing is how elections go.
A lot of it is just disgustingly calculated.
Curtis Byrd doesn't belong to a political party, and he says the manipulative nature of political ads seems even more disgusting given the country's financial problems.
As we sit and tap dance around world collapse economically, and that's what they're doing, it's pretty amazing. Pretty sad.
And with 5 weeks to go before Election Day, there's plenty more to come. Jeff Brady, NPR News, Denver.
It's the Political Rewind, and I'm Muthoni Muturi. Finally today, bottoms up, everyone. It's early voting time in the Buckeye.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Early voting has begun in Ohio. That means there are also early lawsuits and early allegations of dirty tricks, just like in the last presidential election. NPR's Robert Smith went to Columbus to get a look.
If you want a preview of how crazy things might get on Election Day, check out this scene. Yesterday morning in downtown Columbus, dozens of college students were waiting in line to be the first to vote. They had camped out all night long in the rain, listening to music, playing cards. David Prepin helped organize the all-night party for Barack Obama.
A lot of people, you know, came over and asked us, you know, what are you guys thinking? You know, it's raining, it's pouring. Part of doing this was the idea that we would show everybody else that we were passionate and dedicated and as focused as we promised that we were.
Over the next 5 weeks, the Obama campaign is going to be running a shuttle from The Ohio State University to this early voting place. Jonathan Lang is with another group called Faith Votes Columbus. They're cruising the homeless shelters and food pantries looking for anyone who wants to vote.
I'm sure that when politicians and political campaigns try to poll likely voters, the group of people we're bringing to vote here are not counted. We're bringing unlikely voters to the polls today.
It's those unlikely voters, the poor, the homeless, the students, that have Ohio's Republican Party worried. Due to a quirk in the election law, early voting in Ohio is overlapping with the registration period this year. So this week, Ohioans can register and vote in just one stop. The state Republicans said this was opening the door for voter fraud, and they sued. Those lawsuits were thrown out. But Republican Party official Kevin DeWine accused Democrats of cheating anyway.
We are already receiving reports from around the state of Democrats and the Obama supporters offering everything from alcohol to concert tickets in exchange for voter registration and even votes.
As proof, they showed NPR a flyer from a bar in Columbus, Ohio, offering free drinks to anyone who registered to vote. It was not an official event of the Obama campaign, although it did mention his name.
Go to any available booth to mark your ballot. Make sure you fill out your envelope.
Inside the polling place in Columbus, election officials say they haven't seen any problems yet. Ben Piscatelli with the Franklin County Board of Elections says they're expecting 10 to 12,000 people to come through over the next 5 weeks. And clearly, they need to be prepared for the unexpected.
I don't think I've ever seen people camp out the night before an election just to vote. They were that excited.
Well, you're taking no chances here. You've got 54 booths, you've got five registrars and 15 people printing out ballots?
Kind of like belt and suspenders approach, that's right.
Election officials in Ohio don't want another replay of 2004. On that election day, some voters had to wait hours to vote. Others claim they were illegally turned away from the polls. George Bush won the state by fewer than 120,000 votes. So this time around, Ohio has made absentee voting much easier. In this county, they've doubled the number of voting machines. Chris Deering just moved to Columbus from Buffalo, New York. He managed to register and vote in 23 minutes cold. I timed him.
It did take me 23 minutes, but they're just getting started now. So once they work out the kinks, I'm sure it'll take, 10 seconds.
Back outside the polling place, Freddie DeLamonte was waiting for his ride back to his homeless shelter. And he said the whole process couldn't have been easier.
In fact, I thought I'd had trouble, but no. And you know, it's a good thing because a lot of homeless people are transit, and this early voting helps, you know, because they could be gone tomorrow, but their vote still will count.
And DeLamonte had a message for the Republicans challenging the legality of early voting. He just cast his ballot for John McCain.
Be truthful with you, I like his running mate. Seems to me like she understands it better than these guys have been around for a long time and they're big shots, you know.
5 weeks from Election Day, and Ohio is already voting and full of surprises. Robert Smith, NPR News.
Thanks for listening to The Political Rewind, and we're blogging politics at Vox Politics. Find us at npr.org.